This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now, by-elections for parliamentary seats will be a thing of the past if Putrajaya accepts a proposal to adopt proportional representation electoral systems in our country. So this is among reforms proposed by the Electoral Reforms Committee, which has been undertaking a review of Malaysia's current election laws and electoral system since August of last year.
ERC chairman said the new system proposed will only apply to parliamentary seats. So in the case of a vacancy, the seat will be automatically filled by the incumbent party. This is based on the reason that in a general election, voters choose the party and not the individual candidate. This is obviously the theory that they are basing this on. This proposal for the parliamentary seat is also in line with the proportional representative electoral system.
So what we know is there are not many details yet, but our very cursory understanding of proportional representation. So it's really dependent on the number of seats or the people or the party that will form the government will be based on popular votes. So the party that wins the most votes rather than the most seats would actually be swept into power. But we need more details to know for sure that is really the case. So, for example, in 2013, GE13, if Pakatan Harapan, who won about, I think, 51% of the popular votes, they would have come into power under this proportional representation. And also, if you can imagine, now every vote will actually count. Mm-hmm. You know, in some constituencies, like I think in Damansara, the MP is Tony Poa. I think they have like something like 180,000 voters or something like that. And he won 120,000 votes, the highest in the country. So now every vote there will count instead. And you will actually go out and vote to be sure that DAP, if that's your chosen candidate, will actually win a seat.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning, Thomas Fun, chairman of Bersih 2.0, to shed some light on this. Thank you very much for joining us, Thomas. So what are your thoughts on the proposed proportional representation electoral system that has been put forward?
Bersih 2.0 welcomes this proposal. I think it's a very bold proposal from the ERC to look into re-engineering the election system that we have, because we believe that by changing the system, we can also change the incentive for how politics are played out in this country. I think there are a lot of concerns with especially the use of race and religion and the toxicity of the politics in this country. So I think this is a welcome move. And it also allow smaller parties and special interest groups to have a say.
So how does this proposal address the concerns over use of race and religion in the election system?
In a proportional representational system, the number of seats are given according to the percentage of votes a party receives. So in order to become the government, they actually need to work together and cooperate with each other, the different parties. So we believe that knowing that the parties will be tempted to tone down basically their rhetoric that appeals to a section of people. So with that, they will hopefully tone down on the use of race and religion, because if they do that, they will appeal to a very small segment of people and would not be able to be part of government.
The ERC is basing their reasoning for proportional representation based on the fact that during a general elections, voters choose the party and not the individual candidate. How true is that for Malaysian voters, though?
I think so far from the past election results, especially during the last election, G14, it was quite clear that voters chose for party and not so much for the candidate. I think one very clear case in point was the constituency of Sungai Siput, where Dr. Michael Jayakumar was a very on-the-ground popular politician and MP for two terms. And yet, when he was not part of the Pakatan Harapan did not contest under that banner, he lost his deposit. So I think clearly people were looking at the party.
So, Thomas, what other suggestions on electoral reforms would you like the ERC to consider?
Looking at changing the electoral system to all proportional, then there is no need for redelineation of the electoral boundary. But I think this is just the start of a conversation to change the system. But in the meantime, our electoral boundaries are very much malapportioned and gerrymandered. So the ERC really need to suggest clear parameters for sizes of constituency and also suggest that boundaries should not cross local authority or district boundaries. So that would basically curb with the problem of that we are having right now, which, by the way, would be exacerbated when Undi 18 and automatic voter registration come in a year and a half time. This problem would be a big problem. Another very important proposal that we want to see is that the federal constitution be changed to make the EC, Election Commission, truly independent. The appointment process for commissioners, the budget and staffing has to be independent from executive influence, and that's a very important thing. Another thing, we have been having huge problem with our electoral roll, and a lot of this problem has got to do with addresses, the way addresses are identified. So Berse proposes that there should be a national registry for addresses and that each address in the country be assigned a unique identifier number. This will fix a lot of problem, not just with electoral roll, but administration in the country as well.
And that was Thomas Fan, chairman of Berseh 2.0, giving us his thoughts on the proposed proportional representation electoral system that we've seen surface in Putrajaya. And this is really an interesting system that they're putting forward, because it's essentially, I mean, what proportional representation does is it theoretically ensures that every vote counts, right? Because right now what happens with first past the post is that, say I'm voting in my constituency, but I don't vote for the winning parliamentarian, the winning MP. So there's no guarantee then that my vote will actually have counted towards the party that I voted for coming into power at all. So Essentially, proportional representation is going really back to the basic principles of democracy, which is that every person's vote counts towards their government.
Yeah, I think it is interesting, but I don't envy the people responsible for overhauling any form of electoral system here, because this would get rid of parliamentary constituencies, the way we see our politics since Merdeka. I do not envy the job, because this sounds like something, it's a huge job, to quote Donald Trump. Huge. Huge.
But I mean, just looking at some of the issues that Thomas surfaced, right? All of the issues that are currently plaguing our electoral system. Maybe an overhaul is what we need, cutting the Gordian knot, so to speak, rather than trying to unravel all of the myriad bits and pieces of problems that we have right now.
Really, I see this as part of institutional reforms that Pakatan Harapan, or at least the incumbent government, is trying to solve or trying to address. So really, the work is cut out for the Elections Commission. I think like cleaning up voter records, for example, and also looking at political donations is another aspect of institutional reform. So, but he mentioned about hate speech, and really that's on the rise, right? And at its peak, if anything. I doubt it will change. It's only going to get worse, especially closer to an election. So unless some law is introduced or some enforcement is taken, but at this point, I cannot see hate speech going down.
So it's going to be very interesting to see what other details we eventually get out of this proposal, how far it gets. And that's something that we'll be watching very closely. But another thing that we've been discussing this morning is food prices and the fact that they're not really just about the cost of imports in this country. Now, we've been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, despite low inflation numbers, do you feel food is more expensive? Now, we had 170 votes and 90% of the responses said yes, food is more expensive. 5% said no, 3.4% said don't know, and 1.1% said they don't care. Now, I was very curious about this 1.1%, and I had a quick, I did the math, and it's two people have voted that they don't care whether food is more expensive.
I think I like one of the particular comments from here, who someone calculated the compounded annual inflation of roti kosong. And based on his math, over the last 25 years, roti kosong has seen a 5.5% annual increase. So if you have any math for us in terms of food inflation, please tweet over at us or WhatsApp us, because this is interesting.
And that 5.5% calculation is thanks to Carl Chin. Thank you very much for weighing in on that, Carl.
Yeah, thank you for doing that calculation for us. But what I'm finding myself is I've changed my behavior. I've noted prices have definitely increased, and I've changed my behavior in the sense that I try to eat more at home now. I buy the food and then I cook it. So that's how I'm seeing how I'm adjusting to this price increase.
Yeah, and I think a big part of this is one of the arguments, I guess, is Forex, right? It's the mm-hmm. changes in currency. But foreign exchange isn't the only thing, but although it's the most one of the big factors, because a few years ago, the ringgit was 3 ringgit to a US dollar, and today it is, sorry, yes, 3 ringgit to a US dollar, and today it's 4.14. But at one point, it was 4.5. But the central bank has said that Malaysia is self-sufficient for a considerable number of foods. And although the total import content is about 24%, it's not insignificant. 9% of the imports are domestic production, while 15% is for finished goods. So the exchange rate explains part of it, but not the entire thing. There are other cost factors that go into the production of food.
So Tun Daim Zainuddin, in a speech recently, he made a case for agriculture. I think he's also been doing this media drive, going around talking to newspapers about the need to build up our local agriculture industry. I think he says the need for a special agency, a special fund to look at coordinating the activities. But in reality, it's quite complicated because land is a state matter. It's not so easy to align all interests. But I guess for what it means for citizens, we pay the price for that.
Indeed. So ultimately, this is a very multifaceted problem, and we cannot just point to one factor, say, the ringgit, or say cost of imports, to really explain the rising cost of food. So as a result, any domestic policy that comes forward to try and address this will also have the unenviable task of trying to take all of these factors into account. But this will be something that hopefully the government does manage to address, because the cost of food is a big component of the rising cost of living, and definitely does need to see some kind of resolution in the near future. But right now we're heading into the 9 o'clock news, and after that we'll be bringing you the opening numbers from the KLCI as well as international markets with Stephen Innes of AxiTrader. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.